Thank you for who you are. Above all things, you are Father. And that's amazing. That's an amazing relationship to have. To have you as our Father, our loving Daddy. To know that you have our back. To know that you love us so much that you call us son. We appreciate you this morning. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this wonderful moment that we share with you and we share with each other. Thank you for this moment where we look in your word. Thank you for accuracy in the spirit. Thank you because that word comes with simplicity but clarity. I totally will speak as a mouthpiece of God and will minister of a power that only you can supply. Thank you for the amazing things you speak to each and every one of us, whether online, whether here, in the name of Jesus. Thank you because there's no way we'll stay the same. Because that word is incorruptible and that word is able to save our souls. We give you the praise, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So good morning. Good to see you all. Welcome everyone to church. After anniversary, many people have gone to rest. But you know, we don't rest. Somebody said you can't fight a full-time devil being a part-time Christian. I'll say that again. You can't fight a full-time devil being a part-time Christian. A part-time Christian is that one who is on fire today but cold tomorrow. A part-time Christian is that one who prays today but wooden tomorrow. Is the one who will come to church today but not necessarily tomorrow. Hallelujah. Have you found Ephesians chapter 4? Because I see you don't like what I'm saying. So let's get to this message. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I read from verse 7 to verse 16. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of God's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might feel all things. Verse 11, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him, who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of a body for the edifying of itself in love. So this morning I want to speak, and honestly I need a miracle to say what I want to say, because I don't want to say it as a series. I want to say it and give you an overview of what I tag God's organogram. Can I hear say God's organogram? And I said I need a miracle because ordinarily this contains certain teachings or some overview of what I would ordinarily teach for maybe 3-4 hours on a good day. And that's what I've done when I teach on ministry gifts. I will readily spend 3-4 hours teaching about ministry gifts, who they are, what they do, and all of that. But this has been on my heart for quite a long time, and I believe finally God wants me to say some things about it. You know, and I'm trusting him to say them just concisely, which is just exactly what needs to be said. Because when you teach in church, it's different from teaching in Bible school. When you teach in church, people are at different levels of growth. Some just got to know the Lord. Some have known the Lord for a while. They are stillites, but they've not been studious. They've not really known much, you know. So, and some are really jim, you know. So you have to go in depth with them, you know. So, but in church, when you teach or preach in a church, you have to be mindful that people are at different levels, and so. It takes a lot of cooperation with the Holy Ghost, you know, to get it right, to speak just at the right level. And what I've always done is to pray for years and years and years that God will make it possible for me to speak very simply and make difficult concepts clear. You know, I have absolutely no intention at any point in time to display knowledge and say, oh, I know this, I have read that, and go into certain depths. But what I've always just believed God for is that messages can be passed across in a simple, clear fashion that people can actually grasp them and use them. Amen. One of the people that I like in that regard is Dr. T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne was a great evangelist, healing evangelist. I went around the world, came to Nigeria also to preach. In fact, years ago when he was preaching in Ibadan, it's reputed that he began to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And as he began to flow in the gift of tongues, he was speaking Yoruba. And the people could hear him speaking Yoruba. And he didn't know, but he was just flowing in the gifts of tongues. And because he was an evangelist, as you find me say somewhere along the line, his message on the fields are usually very simple. As a matter of fact, T.L. Osborne first went to the mission field with his wife as a teenager. I think he was around 18, 19, and he went with his wife. They were married. People used to marry very young in those days in the U.S., and they went to India. And he went to India. He said they returned defeated. He said because for the years they were there, nobody gave their life to Christ. You know, they found it very difficult to win anybody because the people would show them and say, look, you have a book, we have a book. You know, so you say God gave you the book, we too say God gave us this book. You know, he says, so he found it very difficult to win anybody to Christ, and they returned to America defeated. He said, and he kept asking God, you know, I need something supernatural. I need the supernatural. And one day he was at a meeting, blind eyes were opening and all that, and God said, you can do that too. You know, and he went, locked himself up praying, and that's when he began to walk in the supernatural. And he was one of the greatest healing evangelists that I know of that ever walked the earth. In fact, if you want to know, for Nigeria, his lasting impact remains here because T.L. Osborne was a spiritual father to the late Archbishop Benson Idahosa. You know, and you can still trace Idahosa's impact. So T.L. Osborne was the person that was the mentor to him and impacted him from the get-go. So I said all of that, you know, just to begin to introduce to you the fact that we have God's organogram explained to us in Ephesians chapter 4 that I just read to you, verses 7 to 16. Now, the Cambridge Dictionary says that an organogram is a diagram that shows the structure of an organization, okay, and the relationships between the different people, departments, and jobs at different levels within that organization, okay? So it shows you the different people, and it shows you the relationships between them. So that's why I call this God's organogram, because in these few verses, is you capture it. But usually an organogram is a diagram where they just draw it, you know, the MD and then the GM under, and this one here, admin unit and clinical unit and all of our finance unit. You know, they just draw the different people in that place and how they relate to each other. So what we see in Ephesians chapter 4 is God's organogram, a snap picture of how the body of Christ is structured, how the body of Christ is organized, and it's important for us to take note of it, because one of the reasons why I believe that God had been laying up my heart is that we have a lot of confusion in the body of Christ, and we are running helter-skelter, also being tossed to and fro, also developing very irregularly in the body of Christ. So we have people who, I did do something about growth. Years ago, I did a teaching about growth and about how people need to grow in a balanced fashion. So we have people also who are there in the body of Christ, and it seems that they've been there for many years, but their growth has not been appropriate. Yes, that's what I called it, appropriate growth. Because, yes, you give birth to a child, the child can be growing, but that growth may not be appropriate. Okay, so you watch a child, the child is bigger, but the child cannot walk after 2 years, after 3 years. Something is wrong. You know, you watch the child, he can walk, he can do all of that, but at 5 years, the child cannot quite, you know, structure a simple sentence and say, I want. You know, something is wrong. So, in quote, we will say, he's growing, but something is wrong about that growth. It's not appropriate. And one of the reasons why we have inappropriate growth that is not well-structured, well-rounded with believers is that we do not understand God's organogram. So we just completely function anyhow within the body of Christ. We also do not realize the players and how they relate. So in that sense, if you take the body of Christ as an organization, then you say you have an executive management team, which they will call the fivefold ministry gifts. And then you have the general staff, which is everyone, as it were. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then there are things and there are ways that all of these relate, okay? Now, first let me also display or displace the notion. Because there are many things that are wrong. And I guess as you grow older, you start getting concerned about misconceptions and things that you see. You know, so in Yoruba, for instance, they will say, Agbakiwa loja, kori omotutu wo. You know, how do you say that in English? The elder cannot be in the market, and the newborn child's head will be placed the wrong way. You understand what I'm saying? So, meaning that when you see an elder, those are the people you say they are poknosing, Abi. When you are carrying your baby, you say, don't carry that baby like that. Don't carry that baby like that. Why can't she keep it to herself? Because she's an elder. She feels, why is it this happening this way? You know, so again, I found that as you grow older, you get concerned about certain things that you see, and you want to say a few things about them. Although, again, I'm not saying that I'm old, amen. But I'm only growing older just like you, hallelujah. So we are all growing older. Can I have an amen? However, there are many things that I see that are worrisome. Okay? And there are revelations that people come up with. People come up with all kinds of revelations that you hear them, and sometimes in discussing with some ministers. So there are ministers that I see, we sit down, we talk. You know, and in discussing with them, sometimes I'm saying to them, do these people not know? Because some of what they call a revelation or a new revelation has happened before. It's like it came before, it went away. Then it's back again. And I say, look, we have seen the end of this matter before. We've seen those who went this way and distorted the word of God this way. We saw their end. You know, remember what we were reading last week in the Bible school? You know, that consider the end of a people. I say, we have seen their end. We saw that it didn't end well. How come anybody now is rising again to begin to speak and to teach some of these things without going back to say, hey, this thing happened before? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So one of the big problems we have now is that, and that there was a strong wave of this that came when we had COVID. And people started talking a lot about the church is not a structured organization. Have you ever heard that before? And they said, no, it wasn't about an organization. The church was ecclesia. You've heard them talk about ecclesia, isn't it? This is ecclesia. And ecclesia is just a system or a governing body, but not a structured organization. But it's not about having a church that you have his name registered and you meet somewhere and all of that. They said, and that's what COVID came to teach us. That the people just met in houses. Am I just saying it, or you came across some of those things? You know, and I think to myself, I don't know what Bible they were reading. Are you with me? Because if you read the Bible that I read, you discover that all through the scriptures, right from when the church or the body was born as a church, there was a structured organization. The structure kept evolving, but there was a structure. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They may not have registered with corporate affairs, I mean corporation, because there was none. or charity commission, because there was none. Are you with me? But they did have an organization. If you read in Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 down, it talks about they were together in a house, and then there came the Holy Spirit like a mighty rushing wind. And somebody say, yeah, you see, that's a house. But if you read it to the very end, there about verse 46 or so, it said they kept on meeting in the temple. And from house to house. They met in the temple and from house to house. So they did have a structure. They had a place. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that after that experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and Peter preached, 3,000 people were added. Whose house will contain 3,000 people to meet for worship? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they met in the temple and they met from house to house. So there was something, there was a structure, there was a physical structure where they met, apart from the house to house fellowship, as it were. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ecclesia truly means people who are called out. That's all ecclesia means. So all this revelation about ecclesia, meaning that you don't have a building and all of that, is wrong. The word ecclesia simply means that you are called out. So there are people who are called out of the world. We are people who are called out of the world. According to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says that we are a peculiar people. Peculiar means that you are different. So called out. A holy nation. Called out. So that we might show the virtues of him who called us. We show the virtues, the characteristics, the qualities of God. Hallelujah. And yes, it means a governing body, because the body of Christ is here to govern. Hallelujah. And if you read all through, even Paul's letters, you know, Paul's letters to Pastor Timothy, Paul's letters to Pastor Titus, he told them, he said, look, this set up a structure. In fact, he told them, he said, this is why I left you. He write to Titus, Pastor Titus. And he said, this is why I left you in Crete, to put in place the structures that are missing. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, somebody say, why are you so emphatic about this? Because it's one of the strategies the devil has been using to destroy people. Listen, the devil is against church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many people got born again in a church? You got born again in a church. It was a church. I'm not saying this church. You got born again because you went to a church. Raise your hand very well. You got born again because you went to a church. Can you see? You think the devil won't attack such a thing? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You think the devil won't want to make sure? So you didn't get born again on the street, oh? Even though there were people who preach on the street and all of that, but you got born again in a church. So the devil doesn't want church. Are you hearing me? And always, you see, one of the things that I'm always wary about is new revelation. When somebody comes and says, I have new revelation that they didn't know, I say, only you. Amazing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because usually it's not so. It's not so. It doesn't really happen. There's nothing new under the sun. Are you still with me? So there was a structure. But what God has set up in this organogram and what he put in place is that there is an executive management, like I said, whose job it is to train everybody. So I'm starting now from below, from what we read in Ephesians chapter 4. So in Ephesians chapter 4, he had made it clear to us, he said, the first thing you will see, if you read it again and again and again, is that the people are to be trained by the fivefold ministry gifts. Are you hearing me? The people are to be trained by them. He said he gave them, he gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, Ephesians 4 verse 12 says what? For the equipping, can I hear you say equipping? Of the saints for the work of a ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the equipping of the saints. I'm going to read you different versions. Verse 12, okay? Ephesians 4 verse 12. God's word translation. It says their purpose, that is the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift, is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. NLT. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do God's work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Are you still there? I said, are you with me? So their job is to train, is to build, is to equip the saints. Again, I tend to tell people, this is how you know if you are sitting under good ministry. Are you being equipped? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you being equipped? If we read further down, and it keeps talking about till you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, meaning what maturity? Are you being equipped? It means that he expects that as you sit under good ministry, you are not just getting blessed. You know the way we talk about I'm blessed. No. It's not just about being blessed. It's about being equipped to do the work of the ministry. It means that you start finding that you are more capable. Are you with me? You are more capable. Why? Because God's intention and structure is that the work of the ministry is actually not to be done by the ministry gifts alone. It's the people that will do the work of the ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have expected the ministry gifts to go and do the work of the ministry. He said, no, their job, their primary assignment, their purpose is that they will equip the people. Are you with me? And what am I saying? Every time you see ministry that is only drawing attention and dependence upon that ministry gift, there's a problem. Should I say that again? If a ministry gift is only making you more and more dependent upon that ministry gift, then there's a problem. Are you there? It means that, yes, you can appreciate the ministry gift. Yes, you may be receiving from the ministry gift. But your job, or the job of the ministry gift, is not to make you more and more dependent. It's actually to grow you. Are you still there? My children have needed me less as they grew. Are you with me? They've needed me less as they grew. They still need me, but they needed me less. They can go to certain places without me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They can do certain things without me now. They don't need to see me before those things are done. But there was a time that I had to do everything. If a ministry gift ensures that you need that ministry gift to do everything, you say, Baba, I want to travel. You need the ministry gift to tell you whether you travel or not. And you still need the ministry gift to whether you can travel or not 6 months' time. You still need the ministry in 6 years' time. There's a problem. Are you following me? Are you hearing what I'm not saying? Because there are certain things that I'm not saying you, but I'm saying them. Are you hearing what I'm not saying? The Yorubas will say it's only half a word. That you say to Omoluabi, use Omoluabi now. It's an understanding person or child. He says when he enters him, he becomes whole. All you said is half. You didn't say everything, you said half. But when he enters him, he knows what you didn't say. So are you hearing what I'm not saying? Because there are things I'm not saying and I will not say. But I'm saying them. Are you still with me? So the job is to grow you. I'm seeing people being dependent and dependent and dependent. And I'm saying bondage is what is going on. I'm doing my best to walk this straight and narrow. Hallelujah. I was telling somebody one day, and I said, you see, that thing that they are doing. He said, what? I said, that thing they are doing, that thing. It's going to cause more problem than good eventually. It looks good now. I said, but to cause more problem later. I said, because that person or those people will not be able to stand on their own. And the purpose of a ministry gift is to make people stand on their own. Are you with me, anybody? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, Paul was writing and he said, look, when you ought to have become teachers, you still need that somebody will feed you again, which be the first principles or the first oracles of the word of God. He said, you have come to need milk and not meat. Meaning, he's saying, there has to be progression. You have to grow. Can I hear you say you must grow? Tell your neighbor, say you must grow. And how do you know that you are growing? When you have capacity and you are now doing the work of ministry. That's number one thing that you will see in Ephesians chapter 1. Are you still with me, anybody? So number one thing you see there is that your growth is signified by your capacity to serve. So we ought to come to the place where, I mean, apart from, I mean, ushering, I mean this, I mean that. But we ought to say, hey, you know what? This person is filled with the devil. Go and cast the devil out of him. And say, ah, set man. Say, yeah. Go and cast the devil out of him. Or we say, you know what? This person wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Go and pray for him and get him filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? Or we say, oh, we had this person is sick and in the hospital. Go there and pray for him. John Tillich in those days trained people. And then he called them divine healing technicians. And their job, when they give you somebody who is sick, he said, don't leave until that person is healed. You will pray. You will pray standing up. Then you will pray sitting down. You will pray kneeling down. Are you hearing? Then you will stand up again. You will pray because you are not allowed to leave except that person gets healed. Are you still there? So your capacity to serve and do the work of the ministry. Number two thing you will see in there that shows the maturity or shows the growth is that you are no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Are you hearing me? So one, you have capacity. Your capacity is increasing. So under the ministry gift, good ministry gift, your capacity is increasing. You are growing. Number two, sign that is working as it should is that you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. When Kenneth Hagin used to pastor, he said in those days they'll ask him and say, you know, so and so person is in town having a meeting. Will you not tell your people that they should not attend this meeting? And he said, no. He said, I don't need to tell them. He said, I've taught the people. I've taught them to be as wise as a cow. They should eat the grass and leave the sticks. He said, so they should know. I've taught them enough that they should know how to eat the grass and leave the sticks. He said, so when they go there, they know which things are not correct. They will take whatever is good there, but they know what thing is not good. I don't need to worry about them. He said, because I've taught them. Are you hearing me? I remember many years ago, we had a gentleman in fellowship. And he just gained admission to a university. And when he went, first semester, came back home, I was asking him, I said, which fellowship do you attend in your university? And he told me, I smiled, you know. I just smiled and I said, okay. I had my reservations, strong reservations from years ago till now. So I just smiled and I said, okay, all right. And I left him alone. He went back second semester, he came back. And I said, how is your fellowship? He said, I left. So I began to laugh. I said, tell me why. And then he began to tell me the different things. And I said, he has become wise as a cow. Why I did not say anything in the first place was that I knew him enough and had known him for a while, had taught him for a while, and I thought he should know. He should know. When he gets there, he should know. He should sit there and know that something is wrong. So it took him a little while, but he got it. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Some people are moved by what is exciting everybody. You know, that's the new rev. That's the new rev. No. Maturity doesn't just go with the new rev. You can dissect the scriptures for yourself. Can I have an amen? You can tell when the scripture is being bastardized, when somebody is just sitting with the scriptures and turning it on his head. You know, Paul was writing to Timothy. What did he say? He says, study the scriptures that you may rightly divide it. Rightly divide the word of truth. What's he saying? It is the word of truth by itself. He said, but you need to rightly divide it. Meaning that I can wrongly divide the word of truth. It doesn't change the word of truth. The word of truth is the word of truth. But I can rightly or wrongly divide it. That's why I said to you that if you come, to Bible school on Sunday mornings, if you come early enough, one of the things it will do for you, and in fact, also booster services, one of the things it should do for you is that it begins to stir in you and teach you the right principles of Bible interpretation. So beyond whatever he shared as revelation there, is that you begin to get an understanding of how the Bible is rightly divided. Such that when you come across new topics, new things, the mere fact that it's not being divided rightly, you can tell that the way this person is interpreting this, it looks like, you know what we used to call wuru wuru to the answer. You know wuru wuru to the answer? Did you do wuru wuru to the answer? All of you are now looking. That means you just know where you are going. So they give you mathematics or arithmetic. It starts from primary school. They give you arithmetic in those days, and then they give you this, and then, Pastor Nwai went on to do all the very difficult one of quadratic equations and all that, of hard maths. You know, when they call something hard maths. So when you do all of that, you know the answer. You just say x squared minus y squared plus 2. Then you look at the thing like this, say the answer is 18. The answer is 18. Then you now come back. You understand? The answer is 18. Then you now walk your way to 18 and just write 18 there. So when the man looks at this, he says, all this working doesn't make sense. But this guy got the final answer, 18. Then the mathematics teacher will tell us that for doing that, you get at best half mark. Then he says, but I got the answer. He says, wuru wuru to the answer. Meaning you did not show me that you understood what you were doing. So for all I care, you just managed to have long neck like a giraffe. And you saw somebody's answer and you just wrote wuru wuru there. He said, but if you wrote and explained step by step, I know you understand this thing. And you got the answer right. Are you still with me? So there will be no wuru wuru to the answer. Tell your neighbor, say no wuru wuru to the answer. So let me say to you the second thing. So number one is that the ministry gifts equip us and they mature us. They help us to grow. We become able to do the work of the ministry. But then we also need, according to God's organogram in Ephesians chapter 4, we also need to understand this executive management team and understand how they function. One of the confusions we have had, in the body of Christ, in Nigeria especially, is that we have a title problem. Title problem. That title problem is plaguing us as a society, not just in church, everywhere. So as I sat at an event, on Friday night, and they had the governor of the central bank, they had the minister of finance there, and the MC, they had introduced this minister of finance who went and gave a speech. And then when he left the place, the MC was like, oh, yes, give a round of applause to Honorable, the minister of finance. So I looked at the man beside me. I said, when did he become honorable? I said, is there a problem with mister? I said, because that man is mister. But the man began to laugh beside me. I said, we just hate mister, don't we? I said, because the man I've never known him to have any title. He's not chief, he's not, his name is Mr. I said, but this person couldn't just call him Mr. He feels that, that man, minister, how can I call him Mr.? I said, there's nothing wrong with being Mr. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So now we have a title problem. And people now write names. Architect, Abi, surveyor, banker, barista, sir, town planner, but we haven't seen plumber, have we? Carpenter, But we'll get there the way we are going. The way we are going, we'll get there, isn't it? People will put something there, they must put it there and say, it's not tailor now, In fact, you are the only tailor I know right now. Because there are no tailors again in Nigeria, they are fashion designers. And stylists. I only know one tailor, I'm sure. There's only one tailor, Tailor Dami. Everybody else, they are not tailors again. So there's a problem with us. It used to be that years ago, every minister, bad words, imagine, was a prophet. Abi? All of a sudden, everybody was a prophet. So you got one, and everybody became prophet. Now prophet is wearing out. It's apostle. How many people have seen what I'm saying? Everybody now is apostle. Every imagine minister you see is apostle. And one of the problems we have with all of these things is that they have confused the roles. Remember what we said about organogram? Organogram is that people have roles, and roles are not titles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Roles are functions. That is, what does this person do? What is this person's gifting, placement, and function in the body of Christ? So there are clear-cut roles in Ephesians chapter 4. There's the prophet, there's the apostle, there's the evangelist, there's the pastor, there's the teacher. It used to be that everybody that is a guest minister somewhere who doesn't pastor a church is called evangelist. Abi, before you welcome everybody and say, welcome evangelist so and so. What they are trying to tell you is this man doesn't pastor a church, so he must be an evangelist. So we call him evangelist. They won't call him brother. Again, there's only one brother I know. Brother Gbili Akoni. Only one brother I know in this country. Because everybody has gone after titles. Are you with me? Let's do a quick rundown. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is that the garment doesn't make the priest. Okay? The garment doesn't make the monk. It's who you are. It's what you are. It's the function that you play in the body that tells us what this person really is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And for the ministers, that matters. For all of us as the body of Christ, that also matters a lot. Because we must know the roles that the different ones play. We must know what they look like, and we must know what their roles are. All of them together are brought together by God in order to equip the body so that we can all go and do the work of the ministry. Are you with me? But they all have their different roles. So it says that to some he gave prophets. So who is the prophet? Or it starts with apostles rather. Who's the apostles? I don't like going into Greek and Hebrew words, but from the Greek word that it comes from, it just simply means a sent person, a sent one, somebody who was sent. That's the origin of the Greek word. It was sent. But if you do a deeper study of the scriptures, you will find that apostles have an ability to lay foundations. I mean, like I said to you, I can do a lot of deep dive teaching on this thing. So I did a lot of praying. In fact, honestly, to prepare this message took me longer than most messages I've prepared in years. Because it's about what exactly can you say in 2 minutes about this person, about these different roles, because you teach it to ministers, and even ministers are struggling. You understand? But what exactly can we say that gives us a clear picture of God's organogram? The apostolos is a sent one. He tends to lay foundations. So he tends to show up where seemingly there are no foundations. Now, in reality, one is the foundations. There are no foundations at all. Maybe there were no churches at all, and he's able to plant churches. Or there was not an established understanding of certain doctrines. And the apostle is able to bring that to the body of Christ. Are you still with me? Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. So, and in that regard, when you understand what I'm saying to you now, you will see that many of our apostles are not apostles. Are you still there? Are you still with me? Many of our apostles are just apostles by name. They are not apostles. So we talk about people like Smith Wigglesworth as an apostle of faith. Why? Because he brought and established the body of Christ on the doctrine of faith. Before then, there wasn't much knowledge and understanding of the doctrine of faith, so he brought it. You can call Hagin the same. Okay, so they were not church planters, but they were doctrinally, they were helping the body to be established on the doctrine, where that understanding was not there. Are you still hearing what I'm saying? Our Carter that I mentioned during the Bible school helped the body of Christ to understand the manifestations of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. So he was an apostle in that regard, whose primary function, and most of the people who then came afterwards, Kennedy again and whatever, who all came afterwards and were beginning to teach and even walk in the gifts of the Spirit, built on the foundation that our Carter laid. So in Romans chapter 15, verse 18, we know that Paul, I don't think anybody will argue, Paul was an apostle. So Paul was writing, Romans 15, 18, he said, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." So that's an apostolic viewpoint. That he is not interested in coming to build on what others or where others have done this or that. It's not that he's the one steering his own calling or determining his own calling, but that's just who he is. He's wired to go where things have not been. Hallelujah. And of course, as we read even just now, one of the things that accompanies him are mighty signs and wonders. 2 Corinthians 12, 12, Paul said it also. He said the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. Signs and wonders, mighty signs and wonders. Number two, he talked about prophets. Okay, so with the apostles, just remember foundations. Number two is a prophet. And what the prophet also comes from a Greek word that basically implies somebody who speaks by inspiration or who speaks on the behalf of God. But basically, who speaks. But that speaking is inspired by God. Now, that's very important, okay? I say to you, that's very important. Because primarily the prophet speaks. What did I say? And I said that on purpose, because what we have looked at is the other characteristic of the prophet. That's what most people are familiar with, which is the prophet what has visions, and dreams and revelations and all of that. Yeah, that the revelational gifts tend to be more a manifestation in the life of a prophet. We'll find that in Numbers chapter 12, okay, where Paul, they went to meet Moses, and they were attacking him about the decision that he took. And then God spoke, and he said, "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will speak to him in visions and dreams." He said, "But not so with my servant Moses. I speak to him face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." So there's something about that. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1, it talks about if there arises among you a prophet who has dreams and then says this and that. You know, so there's something about the prophet that does carry that element of having revelational gifts. But that name prophet itself really just talks about speaking, not revelation. And when I say revelational gifts, if you've been around a little bit, you know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the revelational gifts are what? The gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Okay? So he has revelation. He has revelation into things he ordinarily wouldn't have. The word of knowledge means that a word of God's knowledge. He knows things that he shouldn't know. So they're often a manifestation in his life. And knowing it is where he might be seeing something, he might be feeling, but he just knows things that he wouldn't know. So he has an insight or access to a word of God's knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. It's not the word of knowledge or all word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. Can I hear it's a word of knowledge? Meaning he doesn't know everything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He doesn't know everything. And it's not every time that you are before him that you say, doesn't see, hear every time. Can I have an amen? Amen? If he sees, hears every time, there's a problem. Are you hearing me? When Elisha sent, the Syrian general came and he was healed of leprosy and he went away. The man said, "I'll give you a gift." Elisha said, "No, I'm not accepting any." And he left. His servant followed the man and said, that gift you wanted to give my master, he has changed his mind. He said, when you left now, some visitors came and he wanted to give them certain things. So please, he said, I should quickly run after you and collect them. And he collected them. When he got back, Elisha asked him, where are you coming from? He said, nowhere. He said, didn't my heart go with you when the man turned on his horse? So it's like he was seeing something. You know, the description, it was very apt, very accurate. He said, didn't my heart go with you when the man turned on his horse and all that, and you collected those things? He said, now the leprosy of layman will be upon you. Now, my point is this. Why did Gehazi do that? If he knew that his master always saw everything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He knew that the man doesn't know everything. It's not all the time. So he thought that this was one of those times when he won't know. But when he will know, you don't know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's not all the time. There are many more scriptures I can show you about how those things manifest. But it's not all the time. Half a word is enough for the wise. Are you still there? Why? Because they are also familiar spirits. Somebody said, because I was going on the street and one man called my name. And when he called my name, he told me that I had this trouble and it's true. Then he said I should go and buy white cloth and I should bring the 5,000 naira that I kept under my pillow. And it's true. I get 5,000 naira. The kind of things that people have been led into bondage because of the lack of knowledge. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are familiar spirits. What did I call them? Why are they called familiar spirits? Because they are familiar. They are familiar with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They know you. They know certain things about you. So the fact that somebody told you your phone number, didn't you know your own phone number? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't automatically prove that that is the Holy Ghost. Okay, time. But where I'm going is this, about the prophet. His primary job is speaking for God. Look at one scripture, Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. I've made reference to one or two other scriptures now, but Acts chapter 15. So I said the origin of that word is about what? Speaking. Somebody who speaks. Who speaks. It's not talking about somebody who sees. It's talking about somebody who speaks. Okay? That also tells you something. That sometimes when the prophet is a prophet, he won't necessarily see anything, but when he's speaking, it's like he saw something. When he's speaking, it's like, how come he looks like he's speaking to me? And what just happened to me? Are you getting what I'm saying? He might just be speaking. He's just exhorting. Are you hearing me? But it looks like he's describing your situation. It looks like he's giving an example. And the example is just exactly you. I'll say a Ghanaian preacher was preaching. I was told the story, was preaching. And just preaching. And then he says, for example, you don't beat your wife. You know, then he walks to a man. And he said, no, stop it. The man just beat his wife that morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what? It's a prophetic manifestation. I'm not saying it's a prophet. That was a prophetic manifestation. Whether he knew it or not. Whether that man himself, the minister, knew it or not, that was a prophetic manifestation. Are you there? There are times I've been speaking, and then I stop and I say, what I just said now is actually a real situation about somebody. Are you hearing me? And I stop and I say, no, that example that I give is about somebody. There was a time I was preaching, and then I gave the example about how people accept the situation they are in. You know, whether it's sickness or whatever. And I talked about somebody who, for instance, you brush your teeth every day and it bleeds. I said, and you've just accepted it as normal. I said, no, it's not normal. And then I stopped. I said, that is somebody for real in this place that I'm talking about. And the person called me later and said, the next day, and said, it was me. And today, as I brush, no more bleeding. Are you there? Okay, so Acts 15, have you found it? Verse 32. He said, now Judas and Silas, this is what I want you to note, themselves being what? Prophets also. So they were prophets, okay? Known, certified. What did they do? Because when you write in English that way, and you say, being prophets also, it means that you are trying to explain their manifestation. That's why you said, because they were prophets. So being prophets also means because they were prophets. Are you getting me? So it says, being prophets also, what did they do? They exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. So it's also a big problem when the body of Christ looks at somebody and because they're a prophet, we put pressure on them to manifest as if they were demons. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said to a minister before, they said, we're really waiting for you and we expect you to manifest when you come. We expect you to manifest. It's not a demon. Are you hearing me? He's going to come there and do whatever God tells him to do. Being a prophet doesn't mean he's going to stand there and necessarily start seeing visions and all of that. He may exhort you. But he's speaking by the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. Number three. Don't worry, I'll round up very soon. Number three is the evangelist. And again, it's a margin of two words, you know, that sounds similar to that, that forms in the original Greek, that word. And the evangelist simply means in the Greek, a messenger of good news, more or less. That's what it means. A messenger or a bearer of good news. And if you read, the only evangelist that, apart from Jesus walked in all the fivefold ministry gifts, but the only evangelist mentioned in the Bible that the Bible says this person was an evangelist is Philip. So meaning that every time I teach that in Bible school, I say, then you study the ministry of Philip. If you want to know who an evangelist is, study the ministry of Philip. He's the only one the Bible labeled and said he was an evangelist. That's all he was. In Acts chapter 21, he says, they came to the house of Philip the evangelist. The only person ever labeled that way. And what do you find in Acts chapter 8 about the ministry of Philip? He went to where? Samaria? And preached what? Christ unto them. The message of the evangelist is simple. He preaches Christ. All he's after is give your life to Christ. That's where he's going. Anything he might say, where he's going, his passion is just to declare Christ and to get people to Christ. His message is simple. I was mentioning Dr. T.L. Osborne earlier, and Dr. T.L. Osborne would you know, talk to ministers whenever he was back in the U.S. and not on the fields as a healing evangelist. And he would tell them, he said, much of the revelation you all, you know, argue and talk about and try to teach, he said, you can't do that when you go out there. But that's an evangelist speaking. He said, you can't do all of that there. You just need to go and declare the simple gospel, which is the good news. Luke chapter 4, Jesus was speaking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. And he said what the good news is, to preach the good news to the poor, to preach, I mean, declare the year of the Lord, to declare freedom to the captives. That's the good news. Simple. Simple message. So when you hear someone, for instance, someone like Rayan Bonnke, no complexity in the message. Because all he's coming to declare to you at the end of the day is what? Give your life to Christ. It doesn't mean he doesn't know. Because in fact, I tell people, I said, if you want to know one of the deepest theologians I know of, is Dr. T.L. Osborne. His knowledge of redemption realities and all that is deep. But you will really hear him teach along those lines. That one is for him. But as an evangelist, his messages are simple when you hear him on the field. But occasionally when you hear him speaking in certain quarters, you say, this man's knowledge is deep. Are you still there? And what the evangelist has, very strong accompanying signs and wonders. You all know some of them that I've even mentioned. Hallelujah. Number four, he talked about what the pastor. And that word pastor comes from the word that means shepherd. Can I hear you say shepherd? You know, Jesus called us sheep. He called us sheep. And sheep belong in a sheepfold. Are you with me? Sheep belong where? In a sheepfold. So, and the shepherd is the one that is over the sheepfold. So the shepherd, his job includes to feed, isn't it? So in Jeremiah 3:15, he said, I'll give them shepherds after my own heart who will feed them with knowledge and understanding. Primary function. 1 Peter chapter 5, it talks about the same. Primary function of a shepherd, he feeds. But beyond that, the shepherd does, is called to feed, is called to guard, is called to guide, is called to govern, protect, and tend. Generally, tend the sheep. That's why personally I think that that role, that pastoral office is extremely important, because every sheep needs a sheepfold, including the prophet, the apostle, they all need a sheepfold. Because we are all first Christians before we are what? Before we are minister or anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they all need a sheepfold and they all need that shepherd in that office. Are you hearing me? One of our problems also has been that we have sheepfold, but were started by people who are not shepherds. And not just started, but also governed by people that are not shepherds. Governed in the sense that they are the ones who are pastoring, but they are not pastors. Are you hearing me? I sat once many years ago, very good man. In fact, so good a man that he used to allow us to use his facilities for our conventions. And one day I just went to visit him, and I was talking with him. And he told me, he said, you know, I'm an evangelist. He said, but I believe, because at the time also we're not planted any church. We had fellowship and all that. That's all we did. And he said, I believe that every minister should plant a church and have a church base. I said, sir, why would you say that? He said, so that you have a church base that can support what you are doing. So the purpose for the church, for him, was the support. So that hopefully he can go and do crusade, but the church was just created there to fund crusade. Now, the issue is this. Many people also sit in multiple offices, so sometimes they are not straight jackets. You can find somebody who has multiple giftings, okay, who can be a prophet and a pastor. You have people who have multiple giftings. But what identifies the pastor usually is the ability to tend, the ability to how do you explain tent now? You know, that nurturing ability. So Jesse Duplantis will tell you, I can never be a pastor. He said, because you come to me, you say, I have a marital problem. I say, but do you fear God? Go and do that. He said, as far as I'm concerned, 2 minutes, that's all we need. We don't need any more time. Are you hearing me? So I told the man, no, it doesn't work like that. God has a structure. God has a plan. Are you with me? And churches are not set up just to support another mission. They are sheepfolds where the sheep are being nurtured. And I wandered and left and I said, how does somebody decide that this is just what to do? So he knows what he is. He knows he's not supposed to do this. He knows that he's supposed to be on the field. And then he just decided that, yeah, no, I need a church base. That's part of our problems. Are you still there? And of course, if you're an evangelist and you have a church base, it's very likely you have a mega church. Because you're an evangelist, so you can get a crowd. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean you can nurture. Lastly, but definitely not least, is the teacher. Definitely not least. You know, definitely not least. And the teacher, of course, is a teacher. He's masterful. He has good in-depth knowledge of doctrine. Can lay things out clearly. Can explain them. Understands the one. If it's revelation, he can study it well. The one that you don't like, he can study which one? Habakkuk, Nahum, and all of that. His interest is to study the ones that you don't want to study self. And he can lay it out clearly. Are you hearing me? God has a plan. And if we don't mix up everything and everyone, and we understand that there are different roles, we will do better as the body of Christ. And everybody stands in their office. Hallelujah. And we also don't get it wrong as the people receiving from them. We need to know. That's a prophet, but not a pastor. That's an evangelist. That is this. And we work with all of them, support all of them, get what we need to get from all of them, but don't expect from the prophet what you should expect from the pastor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or expect from the pastor what you will get from the prophet. Hallelujah. Did this come clearly to anybody? Did it help anybody? Let's stand on our feet. It's a miracle. I went through it. So begin to talk to God. Begin to talk to God. I don't know what exactly you heard this morning, but means something particularly to you. Every time you hear truth from God's word, do something about it. Make a decision. Pray about it. Apply it in some form or the other. Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. By any chance, is there somebody who has a left hip pain? Pain in your hip. And it's a left. Radiates down. A little bit, please come. Makala boshta brahande. Sefrado sofredishta brahata. Lebro sofredishta brahande sokoto. Samson. Esekala boshta brahande. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For your power comes upon them now. Your power comes upon them now. Thank you because your power goes right through her. Flows to that hip. All the way down that leg. Yeah, that's it. And I rebuke that pain. Oof, by the power of God. And in the name of Jesus. Baba, thank you. Thank you. Straightening out that back. And your power radiates all the way down. All the way down. Pain leaves by the power of God. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Coming on strong. Just taking it in. By the power of God. And in the name of Jesus. By the power of God. And in the name of Jesus. Everybody else who's sick, just put your right hand where that whatever pain or sickness might be. What that signifies it to you, just put your hand there. If you can't put your hand there, just touch, put your hand on your chest. Father, thank you for touching each and every one that needs it. Even now. Thank you because your power comes upon them. Yeah, I just felt it flow. I just felt it flow right through you. Receive it right where you are. The power, the healing power of God is flowing. And I rebuke sickness. I rebuke sickness. I command you to leave. That it might be fulfilled that himself took your sickness and your disease. Be made whole. Be made whole by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. God's power flow in our direction. That's what I looked there. I just felt God's power flow in your direction. Going strong in your direction. Go strong in our direction. Thank you, Lord. Made whole, made whole, made whole, made whole. If you're also here this morning and you need to make peace with God, please do so now. Please do so now. If you need to make peace with God, put your hand on your chest. And talk to him and say, Lord, I come to you today. Lord, I come to you today. Lord, I come to you today. Here I am. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Thank God that Jesus died for my sins and rose again that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you. I declare today, whether you are doing it for the first time or you are doing it again, do it and mean it. I declare that Jesus is my Savior, and from today He is my Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, He means provision is coming. Yeah, you're looking at the end of the year. You're thinking, oh, there are all those, you know, Christmas, New Year expenses. What am I going to do? How is this Christmas going to be? God says it's going to be surprising. Yeah, it's going to be surprising. Yeah. So you have to enter into rest. Enter into rest and leave it with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Begin to give God thanks this morning. Give Him thanks this morning. I appreciate Him for His word, for His spirit, for His move. Father, we give You praise.